put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's going to bring back a College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So, your first time to ever trout fish yesterday. We had a great guide. Lynn Hicks was our guide yesterday. And, this was new to you. I mean, we spent a little while teaching you how to take a spinning rod and cast it.
A little while. I think it was a lot more than a little while.
Well, but you got it down, didn't you? But I want to know from someone, because I am nowhere near a expert trout angler. Nowhere near that, but Clay's a lot more experienced in this than he'll be in here to reemphasize that shortly. But you are a novice, you are a beginner. How was the experience from that perspective? Because I think this can be intimidating to some people. It's always uncomfortable to do things you don't know how to do. So how was that aspect? Because I didn't have that perspective on it.
I was under the impression that I was going to catch one or two fish all day yesterday. Ended up catching 12, and this again.
And we say all day. We fished from 10 to like 3. So yeah. We fished like 5 hours. And you got too hungry to continue. So.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we did
and
that.
And we'll talk about that because I don't know how. We're going to talk about the breakfast you ate when we got off the air yesterday as well.
I might have to get it again this morning. But, it was a lot of fun yesterday. And I hadn't fished in quite some time, and I had no idea what to expect. And I know this is the premier trout fishing place, not only in Arkansas, but in the country. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll give it a whirl. And again, yesterday, I know listeners were giving me a hard time because I'm usually pretty confident in certain aspects, certain sporting events, but this was not one of them. I made it abundantly clear on the show yesterday, I'm probably going to suck at this. And yet, you talked about Lynn. Lynn made it as easy as possible. He was an awesome guy. He knows all the crooks and crannies here on the right White River, so he knew all the hot spots of fish. Yeah. And we got you caught a brown yesterday.
Yeah.
What did I catch? What was the
You caught a brookie. The last fish you caught, we grand slammed together. We caught all four. The brown, as you mentioned, we had a cutthroat. The rainbows are very plentiful. The hardest one of the four to catch is the brookie. So the last fish you caught, and it was right out in front of the restaurant, right below the docks. We were just kind of finishing a last run or two there, trying to catch one more. It's just like anything. Hey, I just want to catch one more. And your last one was a nice, 12-inch, 14-inch brookie? Those are we probably won't see another one of those today. Very uncommon.
We'll see. I want to catch it brown. I want to catch a picture fish.
The browns are the most fun to catch because generally they're bigger. Now, you can't catch a big rainbow that's 20-plus inches. I mean, the record's, 40, Clay? 40 pounds on this river? So, I mean, there are massive rainbows. But the browns seem to fight a little bit more. And that's the fun part of fishing is you want to hook onto one that really gives you a struggle. That's why I like going down to Louisiana and red fishing so much because those fish, they make it hard on you to get them in the boat.
And I got to give credit to my guy, Ray Miller, who works at our ESPN 104.3 station. He gave me a lot of good advice heading up to this trip on Wednesday. So I got to
give you
him
any casting advice because if he did, you
not
didn't
the
listen.
Not the
he
casting
did not, you
portion.
Did not listen well.
Not so. The casting portion, but the pulling in portion. And as a rookie and novice, whatever you want to place me category-wise,
I
had some mistakes that I made, but the point of the process is even a guy that, like me, who's about as a city slicker as it gets, they make it easy for you out there, and they put you in the best position possible to catch fish. So we had a great time yesterday, got some sun.
Maybe too much sun.
Yeah, I probably should put on sunscreen today, but the thing is now I got some color on my arms and my face, and I was wearing jeans yesterday, so I was like, all right, forget that. I'm throwing on shorts today because these legs are as white as a snowman.
Your
right
face
now.
Is pretty red today.
So my
fairly
dad,
red.
My dad used to just chastise me for not wearing sunscreen and stuff, but I'll throw on this hat, and that'll be my sunscreen for today. Clay tans. He doesn't burn. He just tans, which is irritating.
Yeah, well, Clay's got the beard going on, so we'll have Clay here in just a minute. And He's probably already grumpy. We didn't make any coffee and bring over here, so I've got to go. One of us got to sprint across the parking lot and get him a cup of coffee in the break.
Well,
because he's not going to get it for himself.
I don't know. Luckily, I haven't had to start the coffee grind yet.
we're just naturally bubbly and energetic at 5 o'clock in the morning.
But it was a great time yesterday. I think we just kind of it was relaxing. I think like my schedule during the day, I pretty much stand out where I work, I work out, I prep. I watch a little TV and I go to bed, and I'm pretty much nonstop throughout the day. But it's cool to just kind of relax a little bit and just sit out there. It would happen coincidentally that I get multiple calls and 50 something text on the river yesterday, and I'm just trying to relax a little bit. Yeah. And of course, my friends are just blowing my phone up, and the whole point of this, not the whole point of the weekend, but I have so many friends who are avid fishermen, and I was getting little joked at yesterday. It's like, what are you doing at Gaston's and all this stuff? And I was like, we just came up here for the ride. And they're like, well, you're a fraud if you don't get a picture fish. So I almost wanted to take the one that you caught yesterday and take a picture with it and represent it as my own. But hopefully when we
did
go
we tweet
out there,
that one out that I caught yesterday.
I mean, you know how to tweet, don't you? I sent it to
I didn't
you know.
Well, I didn't want to do it if you'd already done it.
No, I left it. That was your right. credit to take for it, so I let
we'll
you.
We'll do that later this point. I mean, it's a nice fish. It's an 18 or so inch brown.
It's not
a record.
I would brag about it just because
it's a nice catch.
I don't know if I've caught something that big, but yeah, I need a big one today because otherwise my friends are going to ridicule me endlessly if I don't send them a picture of a big fish.
I guess we got some sports to delve into. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, was talking yesterday about how maybe football returns. I know that we're all interested in that. And well, we got some kind of anonymous NBA executives we're going to get into shortly and what they think of Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe. And I thought it was interesting. I saw this on Twitter. Jenkins and Phil were talking to Jersey Wolfenberger yesterday on halftime. And the prospect of Arkansas having a women's basketball player that could dunk is a reality. And I think that will excite some people. So we'll maybe get into that a little bit when we actually talk some sports this morning. I think that's interesting. I think that will get people to want to attend.
Yeah, I think that's something that definitely people could be really excited about because you don't really see that often. I know Candace Parker, Brittany Griner are some of the more notable women's basketball players of the years that can dunk, but it seldom happens. So when it does happen, it's going to light Bud Walton Arena up.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
We're live at Gaston's White River Resort on a beautiful Friday morning. It is going to be a perfect weekend all throughout Arkansas. I was really excited because it seemed like most of the time that we had weather that was good during the week, and then we get to the weekend, and it wouldn't be good. But, Clay, this in your...
It's fun just doing a radio show on the White River.
Yeah.
You know.
This is the second time I've done this. Chuck Barrett and I, this had to be 15, 20 years ago, the State Tourism Department hired, I guess it was the through ARN, the syndication that Chuck was working with, and we did the show from the floating Bull Shoals State Park trout dock. And we had one of these early computers like you've got here, Comrex, set up there with a hard line ran out from the – and then I took Chuck fishing the next day, a guided fly fishing. We went fly fishing. Put on the waders and got out there. And that was – it was a June day that was like 40-something degrees. And the wind was howling. It was cold.
It was 40 degrees in June?
Yeah, it was one of these. I'm talking about it's
so much for global warming.
Yeah, and it warmed up as the day went on, but it was windy, cold, and Chuck wore shorts, and he put those waders on, and we got in the water. His lips turned blue. He was cold. And then we started fishing, and he could not fly fish, and it was... And I was catching them right and left. I probably caught 30, 40 fish, and two or three hours, and he didn't catch any. Finally, the guide is like, we got to put him in the boat, power bait him, and get him on some fish. He's the guy on the radio that's going to talk about it, so we need to make sure that he's not. He's got to catch fish.
Yeah.
And I loved it when we were fly fishing, and I was just
so were you giving him the business?
I was giving him the business. I mean, I was just, hey, you know, and then we finally let him catch some fish by using bait. But it was fun. Now, you know, we have a great relationship.
Hey guys, we had some people listening in here a second ago, and I think we've got someone that wants to chime in on the conversation. Chuck, are you there?
I am, as a matter of fact.
Uh-oh.
Boys, how are you? Good to talk with a fisherman today.
I don't know if you heard that, but is Clay telling the truth?
Well, now, just a second. I've listened the last 20, 30 minutes, and okay. I got to set the record straight on this part. Now, the other stuff, you know, I'll let him take some liberties with. But this part, now I'll give him this. It was cold. I don't know if it was 40, but it was in the 50s. It was in the low 50s.
With the wind.
And it was windy, and I did not want any part of it. I will freely admit that. I was like, I kept waiting on Clay to say, let's go, because I didn't like it at all. But we'd actually gone bait fishing that morning, and I caught a bunch of fish, and I was talking a lot of trash. And then we'd go fly fishing early in the afternoon, and it was chilly, and I was ready to go. So he's got that part right. But, guys, I got to tell you, I remember when Clay became an outdoorsman. You know, Clay and I go back a long way. We started doing a radio show together somewhere around 1995. Let me tell you what Clay was then. Clay was a golfer. Every day at 5 after the hour when Clay would come in, he'd always come in about, you know, we went on at 4:05. Clay would come in at 4:04:50. And he'd be wearing, in the summertime, khaki shorts, wide ankle socks, golf shirt, whatever little slippers he put on after he took his golf shoes off. And in the wintertime, he'd have khakis on. And he was a golfer. He didn't even know what a fishing rod was. And then one day, I don't know if he got an Orvis catalog in the mail or what, but he comes in dressed like the Orvis man. And
he's wearing an Orvis hat right now.
He just declared himself
this is an Orvis
he
shirt.
He declared himself an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
And fisherman.
Did he wear the fishing vest into the studio? Please tell me he did.
No, but he wore everything else. The flannel shirt, you know, the Orvis khakis, the shoes, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he just made this transformation into an outdoorsman. But he wasn't going to be a bass fisherman. He wasn't going to crappie fish. He wasn't going to do anything with a common man.
Oh, no.
He was going to fly fish.
Oh, no. He's been looking down his nose at us all morning. So,
well,
for bait fish.
I've been there. I completely understand. But
we feel inadequate here.
I did have a great time over there. Nobody makes you feel welcome like they do at Gaston's. But Clay's got a lot of revisionist history here. And I just wanted to set the record straight on that part.
Well, I'm glad you were listening and dialed us up, because I figured he was taking some liberties. I just didn't know how far he was stretching those liberties.
I do remember Pat Perdue is the legendary guide from over here. Pat passed away. But you were hammering him on power bait, and you were talking smack. And he says, now, Chuck, what Clay's doing is sport. What you're doing is not sport.
And I think my reply might have been, perhaps under my breath, I don't necessarily believe this, but, you know, it's not a sport unless it's played with a ball. Fishing is a pastime.
There's
strategy involved in mowing your yard.
Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't make it a sport.
That's right.
And believe that.
Yeah.
I don't really believe that, but if I was merely the host of the show, that's exactly what I would tell you.
Yeah. And you would be accurate, you know.
Hey, we did have a good time. We, I think we stayed at Bill and Annette Pettit's fishing cabin down at Cotter.
We did.
And they were great hosts. And
it was a lot of fun. Yeah. And it really was a great time. And I know you guys are having a great time. But understand, guys, when Clay starts talking to you like the knowledgeable grandfather, like he's been doing this since he was 8, that's not the truth. He's a late arriver. He's a late arriver.
No question, Chuck. You're right. Yeah.
But he is also very passionate about it. I do know that.
I'm catching up for lost time.
Mm-hmm. I know you are.
So he's even grown the beard out, Chuck, to look more grandfatherly. He's got this.
I've seen the pictures. Every time he catches a fish, he puts it on Facebook.
No, that's not true, because the little ones you never see.
Well, maybe so. Every time you catch a big one, everybody that's on his list sees the picture, I can assure you.
Well, I'm just glad someone over at Whole Hog has taught him how to, the Democrat Gazette taught him how to use Photoshop, because clearly that's helping his fishing, his fishing reputation.
I think Lewis Campbell's taught him everything he knows, if you want to know the truth.
He's coming up next. Yeah. So just so, yeah, we'll give Lewis a chance.
So
Coach Campbell knows the story, too.
So
now that's a fisherman. That's an outdoorsman.
Yeah, he's on his way over here right now.
Right there is Lewis Campbell. He's an outdoorsman. He's a sportsman. He's a sportsman.
Yeah, he is. Yep. Yep. He's the best fisherman I know.
So to sum up what you're saying, is Clay just a late to the party wannabe? Is that what you're saying, Chuck?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. He's actually arrived. He's into it. I mean, anybody that sits around and ties flies all the time, I mean, they're into it. Mm-hmm. But I remember when it wasn't that way.
So, all right, you may have started fishing here, but you've transformed into the golfer now. I know you went the other way. You've got the ball on the ground and chasing it.
I'm terrible. I just can't get any better. And but I like playing. It's a lot of fun, and it's a sport, and it's a hard one now.
Yeah,
and,
you don't miss any. Don't miss any 3-footers out on the river, Chuck.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm the master of the 3-foot. I promise you. I don't know if I'd miss 3 in a row when it comes to reeling them in or not, or whatever you call it when you fly fish. But I can 3-putt with the best of them. I promise you.
Well, we'll let you go get to it. Hey, thanks for listening.
Chuck.
Thanks for calling in to
all
set
right,
the record
boys,
straight.
You guys have fun. I know you'll have a great time today.
All right.
Chuck sounds like me in the golf course. He loves it, but he just can't get any better. So I'm terrible as well, but that's the one sport that I'll play, regardless of the outcome that I'll play, nevertheless. You heard it from Chuck. You heard it from Clay. You heard it from Tommy. Former Arkansas Razorback and assistant coach Lewis Campbell joins us next on the Morning Rush, live from Gaston.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Former defensive back and assistant coach at Arkansas, Lewis Campbell, now joins the Morning Rush. Coach, good morning. Thanks for making some time. I know that you and Clay have been friends for quite some time. So just between you and me, that fish that he sent Tommy yesterday, were you the one to catch it, or was that actually him?
Well, he taught me everything I know about trout.
Oh, don't tell us that, Coach.
It was probably his, but I'm glad that Chuck was on first to kind of set the record straight. So I don't hope without any disclaimer in my association with Clay.
Yeah, well, I don't think we fully exposed the truth with Clay. Maybe we can peel that onion back a little bit more here as we have a conversation throughout the morning. We're just so appreciative you took some time. I know you're a name that's familiar to a lot of Razorback fans, mainly because you coached for a long time at Arkansas, and before that you played with the Razorbacks. You're one of the few coaches that survived a few transitions at Arkansas. How did you manage to hang in there so long through 4 different head coaches and remain on those staffs?
It was brutal, I'll tell you that. It was, but you know, when I came back to Arkansas and started coaching in '90, I felt like, you know, I'd been to 3 different places in less than a year. And my oldest son asked me, we were driving to Tampa. I went there for a long, 1-year storied career in the NFL. He said, Dad, where are we from? And I said, well, what do you mean, where are we from? He said, well, you know, we go to Hamburg, his grandparents, and we've been at Oklahoma State or Arkansas, went to college. You know, I don't know where to tell people I'm from. And he was in the 6th grade at that time, and I'm telling you, that tore at me right there. So when I had a chance to come back to Arkansas, I took it and said, hey, I may have to empty trash, mow the fields, but I'm going to be here a while, and good Lord willing, it worked out that way.
you're from Hamburg, as you mentioned. There's been a lot of great coaches from South Arkansas. Of course, Hamburg's most commonly known and most popular for Lewis Campbell and then Scottie Pippen. That's what everybody always says. And but you look at the coaches that came from South Arkansas. You start with Bear Bryant. You talk about Barry Switzer. I mean, there's just been some really impactful coaches. And I know you coached with Coach Bryant towards the tail end of his career.
Well, you know, I always told everybody, you know, four great coaches come out of South Arkansas. And in order, you know, there's obviously Coach Bryant from Moro Bottoms, Charlie McClendon, you know, longtime LSU great coach, Lewis, I think it was, of course, Coach Switzer, and then there's Lewis Campbell. And the immediate question was, who's that last guy you talked about? So, yeah, it was the last story.
The last one's the best fly fisherman of the four. I can promise you that.
Well, probably out of that group, I'd agree with that.
So
there's not many guys we get to ask about being around Coach Bryant, spending time and learning from, you know, one of the names that still, you know, what, passed away in the early 80s. You know, we're talking 40 years after his passing. He's still brought up routinely in college football. What insight can you give us from your time being around him?
Well, he was, I mean, if I had to send my son to play or coach under somebody, it'd be him, because to me, he just personified. He was what coaching was all about. I mean, if you played or coached for him, it was two things you were going to have a team that did. Be physical. You win by being tougher than the other guy, not smarter, not call better plays. You just go out there and kick his butt on that particular play. And that's what you got to, that's what he was. And yet off the field, if there's one guy in this world I had to go see other than Clay, because Clay got all the money, but other than Clay, it'd be a guy like Coach Bryant. I mean, he would give you the shirt off his back. One quick story. When we got to Alabama, my wife was a teacher, and we'd been recruiting. She had picked us up at the airport. She's in the back seat, and I'm driving. Coach Bryant's in the driver's side. Doesn't say anything. He doesn't know anybody's wife's name. I mean, back then, you just didn't socialize like you do now. And he looked back there, and he said, honey, you working now? She said, well, Coach, I'm, you know, trying to get a job. I'm a teacher, and I've applied, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, who does that hiring down there? And, you know, she said, well, it's Dr. Whoever is the superintendent. And as God is my witness, literally the next day she went to work. So that was the pull he had, and yes, that was the care he had. That, you know, and I could go on and on about players, coaches he's helped. Just unbelievable person.
We got many fly fishing stories, and I mean, I don't know how many times Lewis and I have gone fly fishing together. It's got to be in the hundreds by now. And when we're not going, we're talking about going, or we're sending pictures of flies that we've tied.
Or remembering when you went.
Or talking about why didn't we catch them and what was wrong with that day that we couldn't replicate, you know, the good days that we have. They're not all good days. But I can remember one day we were fishing and I was having trouble with my fly rod and this and that, and I'm complaining. And in the owner of the boat, he says, poor workers find fault with their tools. And I was like, what? And he goes, well, where did you get that story, Coach?
Well, I left Alabama, went to SMU. I was a graduate assistant starting out of Alabama. Coach Bryant flew into Dallas. He called and told me I would be picking him up, what we'd do. And I pick him up at the airport. He says, well, how'd you all season go? And he knew how it went. Because back then, that was Ron Meyer's first year. Mustang Mania had not had a chance to kick in yet, but we were awful. I said, well, Coach, you know, we won our first game, and next game, you know, the young quarterback got hurt there in the third quarter. Next game, you know, we had it won, a bad call. I mean, he never said a word. He always just looked straight down the highway, spoke at that unfiltered camel. And finally, there was this long, very not good pause in the conversation. But I knew I talked way too much. Finally, he said, never looked at me, just looked straight ahead. Poor workers' spine fought with their tools.
Yeah.
And for the next hour, there was not a word said. So that came the hard way.
Well, Lewis and I would sit and watch practice when he was in administration at Arkansas, and we both were fishermen. He was a spin fisherman, fished with jigs or live bait, and I'm a fly fisherman. And we had a friendly bet that one was better than the other. Not one fisherman, but one style. So we went fly fishing one day, and then we went spin fishing. And how'd that turn out, Coach?
Well, unfortunately, we caught a lot more fish fly fishing than I was hooked from that point on. You know, it's a strange bond when a coach and a media, a sports writer, can be really close friends even while you're working. And only fishing could transcend the friction between coaches and the media. So it's been a long-lasting relationship. Yes.
Lewis Campbell with us here on the Morning Rush. He played in the defensive secondary at Arkansas in the early 70s, coached for many years at Arkansas. You came back to Arkansas in 1990, and Jack Crow had taken over the program after the departure of Ken Hatfield, and we all know how that ended. But why didn't Jack Crow's time at Arkansas, you had a front row seat, why didn't that work out? But what led up to losing to Citadel that ultimately led to the transition of Joe Kynes?
Well, of course, back then, there wasn't a whole, there's not now, but there wasn't a whole lot of patience with losing, especially at Arkansas, and especially with Coach Boyles, you know, running the show as the athletic director. And, you know, I don't know, to be honest with you, I mean, there weren't as many players at that time as, say, you know, what ended up. But, of course, but Coach Hatfield went second year in a row at the Cotton Bowl. They had a great, strong senior group, and you know, we had some good young players, but bottom line is, hey, we didn't do a good enough job coaching. One game, and I mean, one year, and I guess one game or two into the next year, it was over. And Jack used to always say, hey, y'all tear them down, meaning, you know, you get them in shape, you discipline them, you make them hurt, and I'll bring them back. And that was kind of a famous saying of us assistants that were with Jack because, you know, there were many very unpleasant memories, but I think Coach Crow.
You saw a lot of highs and a lot of lows across your time at Arkansas. Coach Kynes was an interesting fellow that we didn't probably get to know as well as many other head coaches because of the time, but he took over a tough situation, and he kind of had some of that Alabama grit you're talking about with Coach Bryant because that's where his ties and roots were.
I'm going to tell you what, there's not a better person in this world than Joe Kynes, either as a person and as a football coach. I mean, to me, he had a real gift of getting close to a team or a group, you know, a defense, as he was a coordinator for years and years in the SEC. And I would have given almost my left arm, or I'd give my fly rod to see what he could have done as the head coach at Arkansas, because he was always very popular, a great interview, and yet when he got into a meeting room, he could feel the pulse of the team and know when to turn it on and went to lit up. And you're right. I mean, very, very successful coach and a great friend to this day.
You know, it didn't take long for Arkansas to have some success once Danny Ford took over. You got to the 95 championship. I loved watching those Madre Hill runs and Barry Lunny at quarterback, I think, is one of the more not that he's underrated, but he's probably, when you start listing greatest quarterbacks at Arkansas, Barry didn't come up in a lot of conversations, but what Barry did at Arkansas and with Madre and that group that got to the 95 SEC championship was a phenomenal run, Coach.
Well, and that was, from a pure coaching standpoint, that was the highlight of my life as a coach, was being able to get to, you know, Atlanta that first year being in the SEC. And Barry, of course, has been brought out, you know, what effective a coach he was as a head coach there for less than a year. And I mean, a great person, great family. And you're right. I mean, you know, you think of the great quarterbacks, very seldom does his name come up, and yet he mended some fences, you know, coming off some really bad years that put Arkansas back as being a contender.
Well, you're talking about your great memories and this and that. My greatest memory of you, Coach, was last March when I netted your 30.5-inch brown trout. And there's not many people in this world that have on a fly rod, on a fly, caught and landed a 30-inch brown trout. And hey, I, you know, we can talk about what I've done fly fishing or whatever, but that one kicks my butt. And it was an exhilarating moment. I don't know that I've ever seen you as excited and as I did that day.
Hey, I'm a happy man now. But, you know, I'm a lot better trout fisherman than I ever was a coach. And the good thing is that except for whoever's in the boat with you, there is no scoreboard. So nobody really knows the truth other than what you want to let known or put on Facebook. So it's a great sport.
So how much do Clay's fish grow as the weeks and the days pass by?
Well, you got to keep in mind, and, you know, no offense intended to the present company, but he is a media guy, you know? He's not a ball coach, you know? I mean, you know you can't.
There's no fake news, Coach.
That's right. But, hey, I'm going to tell you what. When you get right down to it and you get ready to put a drift and catch a brown trout, I'm serious. There's not very many in this area of the state that are better at doing that than what he is. And he kills me every week. I mean, you know, when you're in a boat and running 8 units like they've been doing a lot now, you know, even a blind hog's going to find an acre every now and then. That's what I did. But when you get out there and wade at minimum flow, that's technique there. And that's what he can do.
Lewis Campbell with us here on the Morning Rush. You know, he's talking about that 30-plus-inch fish that you caught, or whether it's winning a football game. That's what makes you feel alive. I mean, we all got to have something that stirs us emotionally and deeply. And for a lot of us as sports fans, it's when your team scores the big touchdown or caps off the big win. But we all got to have that one thing that, you know, even as our years get by us, that stir us and drive that spirit within us. And, you know, whether it's coaching football or catching a big brown, you know, it's great when you find that passion that can move you like that.
No question. I mean, all my life has been the four F's, you know, faith, first, family, football, and now it's fishing. And, you know, just like I called Clay last night, I said, look, how come I lost those two browns yesterday? You know, what do you think we could have done? But, I mean, you know, like you said, it's a competition. I mean, it's something that you put your heart in and you work to get better at. And it doesn't matter if it's football or fishing. You know, you want to be the best you can be at it. You want to be successful. And, hey, I love this river over here. I mean, I just love being on it or in it. And when I'm there, that's my happy place.
Coach, you finished your career coaching high school football at Sheridan. What led you to go that direction? A lot of coaches that have had the success you'd had across many decades would not have wanted to go back to high school, but you went back to a place that had been tough and not had a lot of tradition and finished your career there. What led you to want to coach high school football at the end of your career?
A paycheck.
That's an honest answer, folks, right there.
Well, two things. One, I really did want to. Because of like the Bill Keatys or David Alpies, Tommy Tice's, the great coaches in this state, I'd always wanted to be a high school coach and know what it was like because of the influence that they had on me and seeing the impact they had on kids. And, you know, after Sylvester got fired at Mississippi State, you know, I was kind of that age where basically I'm over the hill as an effective college recruiter and all that stuff. And I could have gone to some, you know, 1AA teams or small Division I teams, but that opportunity came up, and I thought, you know, what I got to lose. Of course, I found out I had a lot to lose because we still didn't win. But I enjoyed that. I would not give anything for those 7 years of my life of being in Sheridan with the people there.
There's a tough transition that Sam Pittman and his staff have now in rebuilding the defense, reestablishing an offense. You went through several transitions with coaches. What do you think the biggest challenge for this staff is ahead, separate from the fact that you didn't get spring, coronavirus, saw all this stuff going on? What are some of the biggest traps when you have a transition with a coaching staff that we're seeing now at Arkansas?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, one, you know, they got to get the feel of the players they're with. I mean, the football team, position coaches, head coach. I mean, and that's the thing that I've been impressed with of this group is that, you know, they're not into cliches. And they may not be the best speakers, you know, on Saturday or Sunday night. But I really think these guys are football coaches. I mean, they know what it is to go out and work, get their hands dirty, you know, coach a player hard. And I'm not talking about being physical. I'm just saying hold them accountable, making them do what's right. And that respect goes both ways. And I think they'll earn the respect of their team. And when they do, Arkansas will start turning the corner and get better.
Well, I'm going to say this before he gets off because I want him to be on the line. So that there's not a better – Sheridan was lucky to have Lewis Campbell. Arkansas was lucky to have Lewis Campbell. Everybody that's ever been around him has been lucky. I count myself as really being fortunate to develop close friendship with Coach, and it's been on the river, and we don't talk much football. We really don't, surprisingly. We're worried about what size fly we're on and if we're in the right color or if we're fishing the right depth and those type things. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, my wife is always excited when I go fishing. And I don't mean that in a trite way, but she told me one time, I said, who are you going with? I said, I'm going with Lewis. She says, that's good. You'll come back a better person because that's the kind of guy Lewis Campbell is. Might not come back a better fisherman, but I will come back a better person. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Of course, again, we know you're tedious, so we don't believe about
half of
that.
But, that asterisk's always got to be in there, right, Coach?
Yeah, exactly. Well, say, I'm the only real, other than his son-in-law, who's the best guy in the state, I'm the only friend he's got that's got a trout boat, so he has to say all those things just to be able to fish in this high water.
Dadgum right.
Well, Coach, best of luck on the river today. The next time, which I'm sure won't be long, that Clay does something very embarrassing.
Be sure and let us know
because we'd love to share that. So
hey, I will do that. The worst day on the river beats cleaning out the garage. I promise you that.
All right. Well, best of luck today.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Coach.
Lewis Campbell, former Arkansas assistant coach and former Razorback, here with us on the Morning Rush.
That's fun
conversation.
Yeah,
he's on
the All-Century team. You know, as a defensive back. Three interceptions against Tennessee in the Liberty Bowl. Still a bowl record.
73 or 71?
71.
Yeah.
So, fun conversation, and I know you guys enjoy, you know, your time together, and it's clear y'all have a great bond and friendship.
So. Oh, he's a great guy. Yep. Pretty good fisherman, too.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Coming at you live from Gaston's White River Resort. Beautiful scenery outside. Beautiful day, and it's really going to be a beautiful weekend. I know Tommy and I have made a few comments in the fact that we had great weather throughout the week, it seems like, the last month or so, but we hadn't gotten on the weekends. Not only have we got great weather during the week, but we've gotten some on the weekends as well. And now we're joined by the owner and the operator here, Clint Gaston. Clint, thank you. Thanks for taking some time joining us, man. And, you know, when I was talking to my dad earlier this week, him and my mom went out here while back in their marriage, and he talked about how fun it was. And Tommy's obviously been here a handful of times. Clay's fished and been out here. It's my first time, man, and tell you, it's something. I told them, if I can catch a fish, anyone can catch a fish, and I caught a lot of them yesterday.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we're all about. You know, kind of getting back to the pastime and doing what's important, catching fish and spending quality time with your family outdoors. And that's what we're all about. We've been doing it for 62 years now, and we've got a great location for it. We're blessed to be on the White River, which is one of the best fisheries in the country. Seen a lot of quality rainbows, big brown trout, and it just keeps getting better and better.
You know, tell everybody your story, because you mentioned 62 years, and it started in 1958. Now you've grown it to over 300 acres. So I think it started with, what, six cabins, and now you're up to 80.
Yeah, it started out with just six cottages, six boats, real small game. Most of the growth was done under my grandfather's ownership, and so really what I'm doing is maintaining it and building off of that and making it better than it was. So this last year, you know, we got all new guide boats. We're all fishing out of topwater boats now, and it's been great.
Yeah, we've had a great time here. I think one of the things, and Clay, we were talking about this earlier off the air, you know, the stretch of river here is great, and all the accommodations great, and the food's wonderful, but it's the customer service here, just the way you're treated from the time, even really the time before you arrive, but the way the ladies at the front desk call to make sure the reservations are in order. Yesterday we're out fishing and Chef Rick calls my cell phone. I don't know why he got the number, but he did. And hey, I want to make sure you knew what time, because you got a little bit different operating hours with a restaurant. Hey, I want to make sure you knew what time to get your order in. And I said, well, what about Clay? He said, Clay who? And then I had to tell him who Clay was, and he said, oh, we don't care if he eats, you know. And I said, well, what about his wife? He said, make sure Miss Jean Ann gets to eat. So, I mean, the customer service here is just phenomenal.
We just had a great omelet here just a little while ago. The food is off the charts.
Yeah, it's good.
You can talk about the fishing and all that, but the restaurant is, and it has been like that. There are people in, correct me if I'm wrong, Clint, but there are people that fly in. Now, they've got a grass strip here that fly in for dinner. Now, just think about
that. Or the Sunday brunch.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We get a ton of guests that, you know, that they're not here for the fishing. They're just here to enjoy the restaurant. And
we may be on that list.
and just enjoy Chef Rick's, you know, specials that he does. We've got a great staff in the kitchen, and, you know, quality is our most important thing. We want to serve the best food and do it at a fair price, too.
I haven't been left wanting at any point this trip. We got Cajun chicken pasta the first night. I got this, the chicken fried Benny, which I didn't know how big it was. And Tommy was like, we're going to eat in a few hours. So I was like, okay, I'll get a snack. And so I get this chicken fried Benny, and it's covered in hollandaise sauce, two eggs, chicken fried steak, gravy.
That was his breakfast yesterday.
So one of the cool things that you can do here is that you can go out and you catch your fish, and you bring them in, and you'll have them for dinner, and will fix them.
Yeah,
with different an almondine sauce or whatever. And I mean, it's
knock
special.
Your socks off.
No, yeah. That's the way to do it. You can go out with our guides, catch your limit of trout, and then you don't even have to mess with them. Your guide's going to clean them for you. He'll take them up to the restaurant, drop them off, and then next thing you know, you come in for dinner, and they're all prepared and ready for you. So you don't even have to mess with them. You don't have to cook them. You don't have to do the dishes, and that's really the way to go.
Now, we fished with Lynn Hicks yesterday. He lives in Yellville. He's one of your guides here. Have you heard from him this morning, and has he quit after yesterday? He said, I can't, because he's scheduled to take us out again for a few hours before we have to leave this morning. I was just wondering if he's called in sick or said, Clint, I didn't sign up for
this. He said he had a novice in the boat. I'm not sure which one of you it was.
I'll take responsibility.
But he managed to reel in a few fish, and so he's pleased with it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you bring that up, because we have a pecking order here on the Morning Rush. We have the fly fisherman. We have the fisherman that's been doing it for quite some time, and then we have me. And I think we have a lot of people listening right now that really enjoy fishing, whether it's fly, whether it's with bait or whatever. And we have a handful like me that just either hadn't been in a while or hadn't been at all. And I was able to catch a ton of fish yesterday after not fishing in five-something years. So I think that goes to show you that you can either be a really veteran in the fishing game, or you could be a knucklehead like me who hadn't fished in a while. And either way, you're going to have a good time.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, we've got a fly school, so if somebody's never fly fished before, we have the ability to teach them all the
basics
on how to get out there and catch fish on the fly, spin fishing, you know, bait fishing. We do it all, and what's most important is just getting out there with your family, your kids, your loved ones, and just catching fish and making those memories.
I bet we got
one of the things that's really cool about fly fishing, and I'm not trying to tout one area over there.
Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. But go ahead.
So what I've been able to observe over the last 20 years is that someone that has, you know, like a dude that's been out spin fishing, it's a little bit of a tougher conversion. But if you take somebody that's never fished at all, or a lady that has never fished at all, the ladies learn it really, really quick. I'm talking about in half a day.
Well, so if they're all smarter than us.
So if there's a group of gals that, you know, yeah, like are planning a vacation trip and they're like, well, we want to do something different. Mm-hmm. Clint, you guys can bring them in here and have unbelievable food, great place to stay, and y'all teach them how to fly fish.
That's correct. And what we see most of the times is the women are going to outfish the men.
Exactly.
At least 99% of the time.
My wife does
it.
Laura does it to me
every
time. They listen
better than we do. I don't know what it is, but they always outfish the men in the boat.
Yeah. We got a lot of guys I know that probably fish, you know, bass fish. They're up on the other side of the dam at Bull Shoals or Norfolk or Ouachita or Hamilton or pick one of the Great Lakes, Table Rock. And they're experienced bass fishermen, mm-hmm, but they've never tried the other side of the dam. You know, they've never come down. It's a little bit different, but I've got a good buddy of mine, Mike Hessen, back in Fort Smith. He fishes on the weekends in a lot of these tournaments, professional fishermen, but came over here. He caught about a 30-inch brown, probably weighed six and a half. He's a big old fish, and he's hooked. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a little bit different, but, you know, there's a lot of guys I know, listen, that know how to fish, that know what to do, but don't really know where to begin. And y'all got great guides to really show everybody what to do and how fun and how easy trout fishing is.
Yeah, and what I can say is for those bass guys, you know, they're usually out throwing lures and stick baits on the lakes, crankbaits, things like that. And so if you want to target the brown trout for those bass guys coming over here on the wider Norfolk River and fishing with those stick baits, they're going to yield some great results and some quality brown trout on those stick baits too.
What's the best part about owning a place like this?
You know, honestly, the memories and the people we meet. I'm fourth generation. I've got a 1-year-old son today, actually. So he's fifth, my fifth generation. And, you know, what's cool is we've seen families just grow up. You know, I've seen kids that started out when they were just, you know, in diapers, and now they're now they're graduating high school and driving, and, you know, that's what's cool about it.
Clint Gaston owns Gaston's White River Resort. He's with us. Now, we're in your conference lodge. Great place that if you need to meet, you know, there's the four of us sitting in here, but there's room for, I don't know, 100, 125 or whatever. You can tell me exactly what it is. And the neat thing about this conference center, there's a lot of history you've got on the walls here, not just about the resort, but the construction of the dam, the White River. That's some neat stuff to look at. But I know we probably got someone looking that's had, or listening that's had to, you know, postpone or cancel a work meeting, a conference, bringing clients in. You got a place that, you know, no matter what the weather is, they can congregate, you know, get their air quotes work done in the morning and go fish in the afternoon.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. The conference lodge, yeah, we can easily, you know, have 100 people in here, whether it's for meetings, reunions, birthday parties. I mean, you name it. We've kind of done it all over here.
I bet you've done some weddings too, haven't
a
you?
Lot of weddings, yeah. Yeah, weddings is consistently growing year after year, and we've got some great locations along the riverbank if somebody wants to say their vows there.
Yeah. Got gazebos and picnic areas. It is a...
Oh, that's it, yeah.
There's nature walks. Your grandpa, it's something akin to a zoo up there on the side of the hill, Clint.
Yeah, we heard the turkeys gobbling yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, we've got a bunch of wild turkeys, peacocks, guineas, pheasants over there, and they never get old.
We waited till turkey season was over to mention the turkeys that were on roost over
there. Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Sometimes those turkeys we have will bring in some wild turkeys too.
So we did the show outside yesterday because it was a beautiful day, and Tommy starts videoing me, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then little did I know that this peacock had started inching up closer and closer behind me, and so Tommy's trying to... What he's hoping is that peacock just, while I'm on air, just bites the crap out of me.
Yep.
And I freak out. So luckily, nothing for my
sake. You had
sake.
No clue it was behind you. I was hoping it would, like, inch up there and just, you know, just nip at him on the backside and just to see the reaction.
There would have been
one of those screeches. What are they doing?
That probably would have been me that was screaming bloody murder or something. But no, it was funny yesterday.
My kids really enjoy that when we're over here going over to see the peacocks and the turkeys, and that's a lot of fun for the kids.
And the kids love them.
One of the other great things is about this, and we were talking about this a little last night with you, is you guys are spaced out. We're all supposed to be practicing like social distancing right now. Well, if you come out here, you can do this, that. You're not cramped in a small hotel or anything like that. I mean, the cabins are good width apart. You're out in the open air consistently. You got your food brought to you. You're not going to the restaurant, obviously, right now. So
we'll be soon, though.
Yeah, it's opening May 11th. So, I mean, if you want to practice social distancing, you want to fish, you want to eat some good food, this is the place to be.
Yeah, I kind of joke around with everybody. I say that we've been social distancing for over 62 years now, and that's exactly what we've done. We're all about getting back to the outdoors and nature, whether it's, you know, taking your dog or your spouse for a long walk along the river, seeing the bald eagles flying around, the blue herons. I mean, there's just so much for everybody to enjoy here.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday. It's just as Lynn was riding us up the river, is, you know, that's half the fun of fishing, is just riding on the White River and seeing, like I said, the bald eagles, and just seeing nature, seeing the homes, and just the different stuff that you see, the bluffs that are just a little bit downriver from here. I think motoring up to the dam, you know, we all drive over dams on occasion, but Clay, you know this well better than anybody, being below the dam and looking back up to it, there's just something majestic about that as well, particularly when the gates are open.
It is a awesome feeling. When you're up there and they open up about 17 gates and let the water come over the top, and all at once there's shad going down the river and the brown trout start coming out to play. Now you talk about an awesome experience, and we've had a lot of that. And we're probably going to have some more of that, Clint. Don't you think they're going to have to release some waters?
Yeah, you know, the last decade, we've seen the floodgates consistently open, it seems like every year. Some people think that's attributed to flooding, but quite honestly, that just that turns the fishing on.
If
you're up there below the dam and they let all that water out, those fish go on a feeding frenzy. And like you said, if there's any shad coming through, you can throw anything wide up there and you're going to be landing some quality fish. The rainbows up there are consistently getting larger and larger. Just last week, I was up there and caught about a 7-pound rainbow. I think it was about 25 inches.
Just yesterday.
Monster fish up there, and countless browns as well.
So what do you get to fish much? I mean, I'm sure it's a big responsibility running a place like this. How much time do you, because I know that's a passion of yours, but how much time do you still get to get out on the river?
I try to make it out at least twice a week. Actually, last night, me and a buddy and the boys all went out and threw some jugs out on Bull Shoals Lake, and so I've got to go check those here shortly.
Catfish in the restaurant tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, believe it or not, we actually caught some bass on those jugs.
All right.
So I'm
sure there's we've mentioned this in our ads a lot of times. Families that have had their trip to Mexico or their trip to Yellowstone or whatever it is canceled this summer, and they want to do something safe, close to home. It's real easy to come here. And again, I was talking earlier about the reservation process. You don't do a lot of it online. You can see all the pictures and everything online. But the reason you don't is the personal touch, because there's so many things that go into the reservation process to make every experience unique and different here.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The downside with doing everything online is you don't have that social touch, and so that's what we pride ourselves on. From the time you make a reservation, we want to know everything about your family, your group you're bringing up. That way, we can best accommodate you and really exceed your expectations.
Yeah, and I know if there's an anniversary or a birthday, or you need something special in the restaurant or something delivered to the cabin, you know, y'all bend over backwards to do it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's what we pride ourselves on, and we just want to make sure that all of our guests that come here have a wonderful time, and come back and do it again.
I noticed y'all are opening the pool too.
The pool is getting ready.
Yeah, is that heated?
It's not.
Good. I may throw a tie in it then.
It'll still be warmer than the river.
It might still be warmer than the river. I noticed it looked clean and clear and like y'all had been, you know, getting it ready. But I knew it won't be long because, I mean, today's May Day. You know, we're in May, so I mean Memorial Day is not far off.
That's right. Yeah.
We were giving Clint. We were giving one of your guys a hard time who brought us food yesterday because he was wearing an Ole Miss shirt. And so we're like, man, I thought.
Were you aware of that in the screening process?
Clint did a background check on all these guys. He's like, I'm from Oxford. I was like, okay, that's
a bad excuse.
We try not to hold that against him.
You know, right. We've got a great trout fishery here, and I'd want to compliment Clint and his family, his dad, a grandpa, I should say, Jim. Great steward of the river. I mean, worked with Game and Fish, and we talk a lot about what shape our river is in right now. Part of it is a minimum flow, which now is when they drop the water all the way out, they don't drop it as far as they did. There's always a minimum amount of flow, which it has just our, and I think just in the last 3 or 4 years we've seen the explosion of big fish in our river, and I think part of that is, you know, the vision of people like Jim Gaston did that.
Yeah, absolutely. Between you know, my grandfather and Forrest Wood, and, you know, all those old timers that had the vision for what the river should be shaped like, it's really paying dividends right now. And you know, the new trout regulations are definitely helping too. We're seeing a lot bigger rainbow trout, which is something that it's fun for everybody to reel in.
A lot of 20-inch rainbows.
A lot of them, yeah, and it's not uncommon to catch a 24-inch rainbow anymore, you know, and 10 years ago that was kind of non-existent.
You know, this is our first time to do radio shows here yesterday and today, and part of the reason why is the internet service before wasn't good enough to give us the bandwidth we needed. I bring that up because if anyone out there's listening, kids are like mine, I bet Ace is going to end up being like a lot of kids. The electronics and the internet and all of these things that have to be, you know, basically fueled by the internet, you know, got to work. Because I'm telling you, when we go somewhere, that's the first thing the kids are at. How's the internet there? Is it trash? You know, that's one of the things I think is important anymore is, hey, you got good quality internet here that people can come and do their work if they're socially distancing, but I think more importantly, satisfy their kids when their kids want to watch videos on YouTube.
Yeah, no, we were fortunate to have North Arkansas Electric's next program come down here. They brought us some fiber, so we've got more than enough bandwidth for everybody to stream Netflix, YouTube, or like you said, actually do some work.
Yeah.
But keeping the kids occupied is definitely a tough task to do. Yeah.
I love coming in the winter when those fireplace. It's a little too warm for the fireplace. But that's the other thing I like about here. Y'all bring that firewood and you can just crank up that fireplace, and that's a great way to start or end your day here.
Yes, it is.
You're a few years older than me, but we're closer to same age than these guys. And
calling us old?
Yeah, a little bit. Clay likes to call himself an old codger. But remember back in the day, and like my dad had to limit us to electronics like TV and stuff. But you remember the back in the day when you go somewhere and you'd actually participate in all, like you'd be out all day long. Like this, I mean, you guys have so much to do around here. You mentioned the nature trail, obviously the fishing that we've always talked about. I mean, there's so much, like for the parents right now that are listening that are driven insane by the fact that their kids are on electronics 24 hours a day. This is a place that, I mean, this is the type of place that I would go back to my childhood and spend all day outside and never want to come in. Like this is, I mean, this is just the perfect place for that, man.
Yep. No, that's exactly it. And, The kids that come here and spend all day out here, that those are the memories that they're going to cherish for the rest of their life. You know, that they're never going to remember their best game on Fortnite or Minecraft or whatever silly game they're playing. But
you're giving me some hope then.
But if they come out here and they catch a 5-pound brown, get a picture with that, they're going to remember that for the rest of their life.
I can tell you, as a dad, we're all looking for ways to do things with our kids that don't involve electronics anymore. You know, and we've gotten into some bad habits, I think, all of us during this quarantine. I love talking to other parents right now because I don't feel so bad about what's going on at my home. It feels more normal when I talk to other people because that's what's going on. But this is a great way to really do things with your kids that you kind of get their undivided attention a little while.
Yeah. Well, and even if the parents have never fished before, coming out here, getting a guide, taking your kid out there, that's something you everybody can learn together. The whole family can learn to fly fish together, learn to spin fish, you know, whatever it is. And that's something that they can spend quality time doing year after year.
Well, we appreciate your partnership with our show. It's been great for us, and just thanks for sharing your place with us the last couple of days.
Absolutely. We appreciate everything you're doing.
Clint, one more piece of advice. I hadn't got a big one yet. My friends are giving me a hard time because I haven't posted anything about this. 30 seconds or less, what's the biggest piece of advice you got there before we go out again today?
Listen to your guide.
That's easy to do. Easy to do.
And cast it further than 5 feet in the boat.
He switched from worm to minnow, and I just lost. It's a whole ordeal.
Yeah.
What is it Coach Bryant said?
Poor workers find fault with
their
tools.
Good point. That's fair.
You're saying it's operator error.
He'll get better, though. Yeah. He will get better. Yeah. He can be coached.
Yeah. All right. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text.
Thanks, Clint.
Coming up, we will talk to Lane Wickman about Oaklawn, what you got the last weekend of the season. We're live at Gaston's White River Resort.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.